I want to thank you because you have been so incredible in this issue. And I want to thank you. I know it's not appropriate to thank you. You're a great journalist and you're a great reporter. I don't care what they pay you. They made a good deal.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
What are they going to do when the impeachment trial is over? Because CNN has been wall to wall. I don't watch MSNBC. It's not in my... I don't even know what channel MSNBC is on my system. Oh, yeah, I found it. Yeah, they're wall to wall still. CNN, MSNBC, even though there's close to a 0% chance of the Senate having enough votes to convict Trump of whatever he's being accused of. What are they going to do? It's been weeks since the inauguration, and they remain, not just the networks, not just CNN and MSNBC, but the Democrats who are in control of Congress. What are they going to do when impeachment's over? All they know how to do, they don't know how to govern. They don't know how to do anything positive and productive for the country. We've seen that as they've been just destroying jobs left and right. All they know how to do is hate Donald Trump. What in the world are they going to do after this impeachment hearing this week? That remains to be seen. And when I say that the party in control just doesn't know how to get anything done, Joe Biden on the campaign trail, he kept saying that he wants kids back in school. And if you're a parent, if you're a kid, you want kids back in school. You've seen what a disaster this is for our children. You've seen the anxiety, the depression, the failure to learn anything significant remotely. You know it's a disaster. Administrators know it. Teachers know it. Parents know it. Kids know it. And yet the teachers' union doesn't want to go back to school, and Joe Biden doesn't dare say anything that would tick off the teachers' union. So yesterday, Biden's spokeswoman, Jen Psaki, she was asked, what does back to school mean? And I tell you what, there were millions of parents and kids whose jaws hit the floor after hearing for months that Joe Biden was going to get kids back in school if he got elected. When they heard the plan yesterday,
it was opening up schools swiftly and safely. Mm-hmm. Could you help us understand what the White House is or what the president's definition of open schools is? Does it mean teachers in classroom teaching students in classroom, or does it just mean kids in classroom with a remote screen? Help us understand.
Sure. His goal that he set is to have the majority of schools, so more than 50%, open by day 100 of his presidency. And that means some teaching in classrooms. So at least one day a week, hopefully it's...
Whoa! So if half the schools in America have teachers in the classroom one day a week by the end of April, which is day 100, you're going to call that a success? Is that what parents, do you consider that a success? If it's 80% total failure, which is right now we have 100% total failure. You get them back in class one day out of five every week, that would be an 80% total failure. Is that what you want, parents? Kids, is that what you're hoping for? To go back in the building one day a week and sit in front of a teacher whose union couldn't care less about you? Their Zoom classroom 4 days a week? Is that really what people were hoping for when Joe Biden said he was going to get the schools open? And everyone was so incredulous that they asked Jen Psaki again today at her press briefing, because nobody could believe that that's Joe Biden's goal. End of April, half the schools, one day a week.
But why is the administration setting the bar at one day a week? Why not go higher?
Well, certainly we are not planning to celebrate at 100 days if we reach that goal. That is our own effort to make our own, set our own markings, bold and set an bold and ambitious agenda for how we're going to measure ourselves and progress.
So end of April, half the schools in America, one day a week. That's just the floor. It's not the ceiling. They hope to do better. But the teachers' unions across the country have said that they're not even planning. Some, Chicago, yesterday said they're not even planning on going back in class by next fall. So if we leave it up to the teachers' union, and the union owns Joe Biden and his party, we may not see kids back in class for a long, long time on a regular basis, which is disgusting because of what we're doing to our kids. All right, with all that as mere prelude, let's get to this hour's big lead.
The big lead, top story.
I've mentioned before, I have so few pleasures in life, but when my wife and I built our house 16 years ago, one of the things we did that we've always been so happy with, we put in a really big, kind of oversized gas fireplace, because I'd always had wood fireplaces and I enjoyed chopping wood and all that when I was a younger man. But on a day like today, it's a chilly morning and it was very nice to have the fireplace on, to have that kind of warmth. And now I find out the Democrats in Olympia want to take all of this away from me. Mary Dye is a Republican representative down in Olympia, and she joins us here on the Dori Monson Show. Representative, good to talk to you this afternoon.
It's great to talk to you, too.
All right, so tell me what's going on down there, because I know that the city of Seattle was talking about banning all, or they passed it, banning all natural gas usage in new construction. And I think people around the state always believe, well, Seattle's craziness is not going to spread statewide. But with this bill that you're talking about, it is spreading statewide, isn't it?
It is. The idea metastasized, I'm afraid. And the bill is House Bill 1084, and it's a job killer. It, you know, they just decided that on a, you know, in the middle of a pandemic, after we've been shut out of our work for a lot of time, that all of a sudden they're going to put new mandates on us. And this one says we're not going to have any kind of fossil fuel heating, no furnaces, water heaters. We want all electric in our homes and commercial buildings. And so, I mean, just like you said, it's like when you're building a new house now, you know, you don't get to pick the affordable, efficient furnace. That's out. And you know, even if that saves you hundreds of dollars in heating bills. And it also means if you're not going to have a gas furnace, that means, well, probably not going to put in a gas fireplace. Or what do you do if the power goes off? You know, a lot of us live in places where that happens pretty frequently. Well, and if they're going to put everything on electricity, you know, that might happen more frequently.
Well, that's one of my points is I live in an area with a lot of trees and we have the power go out. The gas fireplace and our gas stove, they are always there for us. So even when the power's out, we can stay somewhat warm. We can stay in the house. And so not having that as an option is just crazy. So what would happen under this bill? How many jobs are we talking about connected to the natural gas industry in our state?
Well, it's a big industry because it, you know, it provides warmth for about 1.2 million residences. There's 107,000 commercial buildings and 3,500 industrial buildings that are working under clean, efficient, reliable natural gas. Plus, it fires about 11% of our electricity grid. So you're talking a very large labor force. There's 45,000 miles of pipeline. And so that all has to be maintained. It's under very strict standards, but the skill sets that the workers have,
yeah.
Oh, my goodness. You know, to weld a pipeline that is safe and secure is a big deal. And those skills are acquired and people take a great deal of pride when they rise to the level in their skill to be able to work in an industry like this. It's kind of the pinnacle of your career when you're able to do this kind of work. And they're saying that these people are non-essential, you know, and I really just don't think that They sent us to Olympia to write bills that make somebody else's job obsolete.
Well, we've heard that so much from Jay Inslee and Joe Biden that, the people in this industry, they can just build solar panels, which is such a slap in the face because, like you said, these are tradespeople who have acquired their skills over a lifetime of hard work, and to tell them they have to go to the very bottom of some other industry and lose, you know, in many cases, $30, $40, $50 an hour by starting at the very beginning in another business, it's a slap in their face. And then what about the consumers? So for the average family, what happened? How much more would we have to pay if we have natural gas now?
Oh, it's terrible for consumers. Natural gas is the most affordable and efficient way to heat your home. You get more energy out of natural gas than you ever will all of the work that it takes to bring electricity into your home. And those furnaces aren't nearly as efficient as natural gas furnaces. And the cost to the consumer is estimated to be an additional $700 a year. But even more importantly, the price tag on those furnaces are huge, anywhere between $18,000 and $20,000 to just switch your furnace. So you're really asking a lot. According to Washington Policy Center, they estimate that a gas furnace is about half the cost to heat an apartment in Seattle with gas than it is with electric.
Well, and would this bill mandate for those of us, because my furnace, water heater, stove, fireplace are all natural gas, would it mandate that at some point I'd have to switch them all out?
Well, it ultimately does contemplate that in the bill. It's not directly, but it does say that in the intent section that the goal of the bill is to move all home heating from natural gas to electricity. And if you do that, it creates a huge amount of jobless dislocation and creates instability in the grid. You know, we've already put Clean Energy Transformation Act into law, and the deal was that they couldn't achieve that aggressive mandate by 2050 without keeping natural gas as part of the generation capacity. Otherwise, the grid becomes entirely unstable and you'll have more brownouts and blackouts. But the job dislocation itself, I mean, it just says to me that, you know, you don't care about these people. And, you know, to me, it's the really bad thing is that they actually made it clear in testimony yesterday that they had contemplated this kind of job dislocation. And with all the uncertainty of COVID and everything else, they did it anyway.
Well, it's a real slap in the face because, like I said, 16 years ago, my wife and I made what was the most energy efficient decision for our house when we decided to go with natural gas. When I was growing up around here, I remember the TV commercials. The natural gas was the clean, it was the environmentally friendly alternative, and now it's become yet another evil in the minds of Democrats who seem to see evil around the corners wherever they walk. And so this is, once again, I'm asking my listeners to be activists this legislative session, because you have to let the people in Olympia know this is House Bill 1084, and you need to call the legislative hotline. That's there for you to have your voice heard, and that number is 800-562-6000. Okay, I'll give it to you one more time. House Bill 1084. And call 800-562-6000. Let them know if you don't want to lose these jobs, if you don't want to lose this source of power in your home, then we got to keep natural gas flowing in this state. This is crazy, Representative. I can't believe where we're going. And you mentioned the brownouts. We're already seeing in California that the electrical grid cannot handle some of these same mandates that they've imposed down there.
Absolutely. And they're adding, they have very aspirational bills to move us all to electric vehicles. That's another pull on the grid. And we've got low carbon fuel standards, another real expensive bill to make fuels very expensive to try and incentivize people to use electric cars. I mean, it's just one thing after another. And, you know, I think that what you just said about getting people activized and activated and energized for this, I just like make it a hashtag, you know, 1084 or job killer, you know, whatever you can do to get out to your friends to know that they're doing the kind of legislation that really there should be a Hippocratic oath for legislators, you know, first do no harm.
Yep, that's
and,
for sure.
You know, but they don't seem to be in that mode this year. They really want to put a change in the way we use energy, and it's just incredibly intrusive, and it's disruptive and destructive of jobs.
Yeah, and it kills jobs, and it'll cost the rest of us billions of dollars collectively. Representative, I appreciate you fighting the fight down there. Keep me posted on this, okay?
Oh, yes. We're having a good go this year, just making sure that people know what's happening in Olympia. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be on your show. It's really fun. Thanks.
It's my pleasure. Representative Mary Dye, thank you very much. So what's your thinking on this as a constituent, as a citizen? Obviously, many of you must have voted for Democrats for the legislature, and you must have known it was going to be the most radical legislature in the country. Here's what I truly don't understand. If, you know, when you hear this story and you understand that for middle class, working class people, they're going to raise the cost of government thousands of dollars a year. I truly don't understand how anybody is okay with that, especially given the fact that, you know, natural gas fires a lot of our electric grid. It is not horribly dirty fossil fuel. And I would not be able to embrace things that by government force, by mandate, cost people thousands and thousands of dollars a year. Just morally, I would never be able to do that. I don't understand, and I mean this sincerely, I don't understand the morality of legislators who believe that it is their job to just raise the price of everything. And like I said, you know, this will cost eventually when my wife and I someday have to replace our furnace and our water heater. The price of natural gas is going to go up. One of my listeners pointed out, one of Washington Natural Gas's competitors is Seattle City Light, a government-run entity. Do you think it's right for government to just wipe out competition? And power, electricity in the Seattle area is so expensive. And I say that as somebody who used to have a vacation place on the Columbia River in Douglas County, where electricity was as cheap as can be. And now here, it in the summertime, it costs hundreds and hundreds of dollars a month, and they want to make that thousands of dollars a month. I don't understand the morality of the people who are in control in Olympia, and frankly, of the people who voted for them. And I ask that sincerely. If you can explain why you think it's a good thing, if you say it's for the planet, there is no planetary benefit. This is just raising the cost to transfer money from good, hardworking, middle-class families to your government. But let me know your thought process on that. 98973 is the line to text in. 98973, that is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Meanwhile, at a university in our state, a professor is threatening bad grades if you say some very common words. We'll tell you about it next here on the Dory Monson Show. I have a little consumer tip for you. I've told you that, you know, when I was 16 years old, I used to work until 2 a.m. And then when I would drive home, I'd listen to Larry King, who just passed away a couple of weeks ago. And then I would get home. I'd get so hooked on the subject because it was the first time I'd ever listened to talk radio. And I got hooked on whatever he was talking about or whoever he was interviewing. And so I'd come inside and I'd turn it on in my bedroom. And then I'd fall asleep listening to Larry King. And I'd have the radio on all night. And that started a horrible sleep pattern. And I've been a horrible sleeper my whole life. But I guess even before that, I had this black and white TV that I had in a bedroom when I was like 13, 14 years old. And I would, I remember some of the shows. On Sunday night, there was a show that showed Olympic-style events on, I think it was on Cairo, Channel 7. I think it was a syndicated show at 11:30. But anyway, I got hooked on listening to stuff while I was falling asleep. And so now my poor wife, I've mentioned that I have to have some stimulation, audio stimulation to fall asleep. Not just any kind of stimulation. I need audio stimulation to fall asleep. I need to focus on what's being said because my brain can't settle down at night. And if it's a quiet, dark room, I start thinking about all the stuff that I have to do and that I want to do and that I should have done, and I can't quiet down my brain. So the only way I can fall asleep is to have something to distract me. And we do have a TV in the bedroom, and I've got a long cord. There's an audio output on the TV, and I have earbuds, wired earbuds. And so I'll listen to TV, but even then, in a dark room, the TV picture will kind of flash sometimes. And even just the flashing lights through her sleeping eyelids will sometimes wake up my wife. So I'm trying to transition to podcasts on my iPad and stuff that just won't bother her at all. I bring all of this up because I do sleep one way or another, whether it's the TV or the iPad. I sleep with earbuds, but they're wired earbuds. There is a story in the news today. A man is warning people against using wireless earbuds. What are those called? AirPods? Something like that. After he fell asleep with his wireless earbuds in, his name is Brad Gaultier. He detailed his bizarre experience. He went to bed Monday listening to music. He woke up yesterday, Tuesday, shoveled snow for about an hour. He's back in Massachusetts. And then he went inside to take a sip of water, but the liquid wouldn't go down. He had to lean over to drain the liquid from his throat back out through the mouth. And he had discovered that morning that one of his two wireless earbuds was missing. Well, it turns out he went to the hospital and an X-ray revealed that he had swallowed one of his earbuds, and it was lodged in his lower esophagus. Doctors had to do an emergency endoscopy, and they were able to retrieve the wireless earbud. But don't put anything without a wire inside your body. You need something. You need like a cord or a string to pull it out if you put something in your body, for crying out loud. Don't do the wireless things, for heaven's sakes. All right, and then this important update. Remember David Hogg? He was the anti-gun activist who was a student at the high school in Florida where there was a gunman. And David Hogg, you know, he loved getting the fame that he got for being an anti-gun person, and the networks loved him. Well, he's having trouble getting attention these days. Since this really conservative guy, Mike Lindell, has built a company called MyPillow.com, David Hogg decided he's going to start a liberal pillow company. And he's giving an update today on his quest to start a liberal pillow company. Just what I've been looking for.
We're not going to start out selling a million pillows instantly because we want to have a focus on quality. So what that means is it might take us, you know, a month. It might take us 2 months, maybe three even. But we are going to make a quality pillow that people can sleep on at night and feel good about. That is made here in the United States with union labor and is sustainably sourced. And we're going to take as long as it does for us to...
It's sustainably sourced. What does that even mean with a pillow? A sustainably sourced pillow. Yeah, that's what I care about when I lay my head down at night.
Get that together to provide a quality product and to help you sleep at night. So, yeah, that was today's update. And yeah, you know, we might start from humble origins, but that's where giant, you know, companies end up coming from too. You got to start somewhere. So thank you all for your support.
You're very welcome. All right. So that's David Hogg. He also says that he's asking for help finding a pillow company that wants a partner who knows how to get fame the way that he does. Because he might be able to launch your pillow company into the stratosphere. I wonder if Seattle's guilt-ridden billionaire, Nick Hanauer, who's been pushing for every kind of tax hike imaginable, he got rich off of first his family's pillow company, and then secondly, he was buddies with Jeff Bezos, and he got a bunch of Amazon stock. And so between those two, maybe the guilty Nick Hanauer can partner with Nick Hogg and show him how to make a pillow company. I don't know. And then Hogg also said that he will not make his pillows in California because the cost of doing business there is too expensive. So maybe he's not that hardcore a liberal after all, if he realizes that business has to have a competitive base. All right, those are very important stories that you needed to know. Coming up next, our favorite sound bites of the day. Awesome audio. Next, here on the Dory Monson Show. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. What a day. Got some breaking news just coming into us here. Tim Iman has just been fined $2.6 million by the state of Washington. Bob Ferguson has been going after Tim Iman for years. Iman is Moby Dick to Bob Ferguson's Ahab. I don't know if that came out the way I wanted it to. But we're just getting word that Tim Iman has been fined $2.6 million, and more significantly, he is barred from ever controlling a campaign on an initiative again. And while I've, you know, certainly goofed on Tim Iman a fair share over the years, I also like how much he has saved taxpayers with tax-cutting initiatives and the fact that government can shut down somebody who has been cutting taxes or pushing for things like $30 tabs when our politicians will not. That is the tyranny of the state of Washington. Bob Ferguson, he is a purely politically motivated attorney general. He will try to destroy anybody with whom he disagrees, and he will provide political and legal cover to those with whom he agrees. And that's the most dangerous politician I've ever seen. I've said that many, many times. Bob Ferguson is the most dangerous politician I've ever seen here in our state. All right, with that as mere prelude, let's get to our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
All right, do you like snakes? I remember several years ago, there was a guy who lived in our area, and he wanted his boa constrictor to be his service animal. He wanted to be able to bring a boa constrictor on airplanes with him. And this guy claimed that he had epilepsy and his snake could sense before anyone else or anything else if he had a seizure coming on, because the snake would sit around his neck and he would give the guy a squeeze. The snake would give the guy a squeeze if a seizure was coming on. So he said he needed this as a support animal. I know that if I'm on a plane flying from Seattle to Miami, I don't want to be trying to sleep next to a boa constrictor, okay? Down in Florida, speaking of Florida, a guy named Aaron Brown, not the former King 5 anchor, he tells the local Fox affiliate about the snake he saw in the family's pool.
I just caught a glimpse of something shiny in the grass. I thought to myself, I said, dang, damn, that's a big snake. And I had my mother with me, and she goes, well, get out and get it. I said, you get out and get it. I said, if that joker catches me, I said, you can't help me.
Okay. He called his cousin, who said, oh, you got to stay with that snake. I'm on my way.
I told him, I said, man, I said, watch that thing. I said, I'm on my way. We're going to catch that big rascal.
Oh, I said it was a 30-foot. No, it wasn't 30-foot. I misread. It was 300 pounds. It was a 6-foot Burmese python that weighed 300 pounds. So that's, I don't think I would like
that.
I'd rattle snakes. Oh, your description
gigantic.
Here says, oh, your description says 6 foot.
The audio sorry, 16. That I'm 16.
16 foot, 300 pounds. We had rattlesnakes at my Columbia River place many years ago, and I saw a couple of them. One time there was one in the garage where my next-door neighbor's house. And my next-door neighbor, he was a police chief in a local city, and I wanted him to shoot and kill the rattlesnake. Instead, he got a rake, and he scooted the rattlesnake down his long driveway. And I said, you're going to kill it, right? Because we got kids here, because our kids were playing ping pong together in his garage where the rattlesnake was. And he goes, no, I'm just going to scoot it on its way.
Oh,
and
gosh.
I'm a little less tolerant of snakes than some people.
We finally got him to come a little bit, and he pulled back on us. Once we got him pulled out, he just kept coming. We were like, my God, what a snake. Then we measured him and laid him down and the two kids down beside him just to get a rough idea, and ended up finding a tape measure.
They used their kids.
These guys are awesome.
As a measuring tape.
Yep.
They made the two kids.
Three.
And then when they cut the... Oh, was it three? Oh, yeah,
three
if you're going to get to 16 feet, unless the kids are 8 feet long.
Eight. Right.
And then when they finally cut the snake open, because unlike my neighbor on the Columbia River, they actually cut open the snake. And there would have been up to 100 baby snakes, because there were 100 eggs inside this mod.
We're down in the Everglades, you know, trying to stop these pythons from migrating farther north. Hopefully this is a rogue snake, and they haven't migrated this far, but these boys definitely stopped an invasion by eliminating a big breeding female like that.
They showed it in the news report, the 100 eggs laying in this, like, sliced open snake. It's quite disgusting.
I'd want mine scrambled. Okay, that's it. That's the Burmese python in Florida. Okay, I got to get out of here. We've said everything we have to say for today. Tom and Curly are coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times, and I will see you back here tomorrow. High noon.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.